Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So salmon do it. Hummingbirds do it. Butterflies do it. And turtles do it. And you know what I'm talking about, right? They all go home again. When salmon are born, they go down their streams and then live in a vast ocean. And when it comes time for them to spawn once again, they make an amazing journey, going up rivers and streams and finally finding the tiny tributary from which they were originally hatched. Hummingbirds fly over 6,000 miles to find their nesting sites in the winter. Butterflies congregate in the same trees generation after generation. And in 2011, migrating turtles closed down whole runways at New York's JFK Airport. They were all making their way home. The instinct to go home is widespread in creation. It is an unstoppable force. Even Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz acknowledged that when she clicked her heels and said, "There's no place like home. There's no place like home." When I was living in New York and I would come down to Columbia, Pennsylvania to visit my father, inevitably, I would throw the kids in the car and take them around to the different places that were meaningful to me when I was living in Pennsylvania. We would go to the house where I grew up and look at the tree that my father planted after we got the sewer put in, one that was only like this high, and now here it was, incredibly tall. We would look at the meadow and the woods that I explored and played in when I was a kid. We would look and stop at my grandparents' house on Manor Street, where we had family reunions, and the older kids would take the younger kids and walk down to Dairy Queen to get some ice cream. And then there was the field complex, Gladfeller Field, where I played football and baseball and had my first home run. And I would also take them to the cemetery, where my grandparents were buried, that sits on the top of a hill near the high school, overlooking the town of Columbia. Places become a part of us. Psychiatrists actually have a name for it. They call it topophilia, a special love for particular places. Home is essential to our human life and fulfillment, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Poet Robert Frost said, "Home is the place that when you have to go there, they have to take you in." But we recognize in this day and age with social mobility and improved transportation, in some ways, it's made it easier for us to get to places. And yet, many of us have moved farther away. And then it's harder to come together. The day of the kids and the grandkids getting together for all of the different and varied holidays is now incredibly rare. And if you look at it from a world perspective and mix in violence and war, economic circumstances, and even mental conditions, we see a world that is increasingly fractured, millions homeless and refugees. We live in an incredibly rootless society, a fragile society. The Bible is filled with the themes of home and homecoming. We have the stories of Noah and his family after the flood, needing to find a home after the ark stopped on a mountain. Or of Abraham given a promise by God and given a land with a special promise to all his descendants. And then there's Jacob, who has a tension-filled reconciliation and homecoming with his slighted and very angry brother Esau. Moses and the Hebrews found a home in the Holy Lands after slavery in Egypt. And the Israelites returned home after slavery in Babylon. Jesus also had a homecoming. This one didn't go too well. He went to his home of Nazareth and preached in the synagogue. And they liked the sermon so much that they wanted to grab him and throw him off of a cliff. Jesus' own teaching, though, had many examples of homecomings, the most notable of which is the parable of the prodigal son, when a wayward son comes home and is welcomed with open arms by his father. And Jesus uses home as an image for heaven, a mansion with many rooms, one prepared for each one of us. In our Christmas reading, there are two homecomings. The first is Joseph returning to his ancestral home of Bethlehem. And the second is the angelic announcement to the shepherds that God has made a home with us, with you and me. And that is indeed good news of great joy. In Jesus, the eternal Word of God takes on flesh and blood. The word that we use is incarnation. Divinity and humanity meet. And in that, God chooses to be human. Jesus comes down to us to show us that no one is beneath God's dignity. Every person is worthy of his love. And every person has individual sacred worth in the eyes of our God. Jesus becoming human isn't magic. It's grace, a pure gift given to us. It's God showing his love to us in the most tangible and intimate way, being there with us, for us. The Bible is a book of stories about God's love for his people. It begins in a garden, and then through individual, family, tribal, and national struggle, we see God again and again longing for relationship with his creation. And the Bible is also a book about humans' rejection of that love of God, of seeking personal gain and power, of hurting one's neighbor, betraying one's friends, neglecting loved ones, rejecting those gifts which God places right before us. We think that we can do better without God by ourselves. As soon as Jesus is born, the powers of this world align up against him and try to kill him. Herod sends soldiers. The religious establishment wants him silenced. A disciple betrays him, and the Romans crucify him. But rejection, violence, and death can't silence the Lord of life. The Lord enters into our human existence with all of its sin and iniquity, its tribulations and trials. God reaches out in total giving, total sacrifice, total love. But the birth of Jesus is only the beginning for us. God is making a home with us, and we are making a home with God. The theologian Frederick Buechner, in his book, The Magnificent Defeat, wrote this: Bethlehem is not the end of our journey. It's only the beginning. Not home, but the place through which we must pass if we are ever to reach home at last. So many try to find fulfillment in a family, or a person, or a politician, or a career, or a reputation, or community standing, or professional expertise, or in our IQs. Jesus invites us home into his presence, a gift-wrapped present of love made flesh. And the gifts don't stop there. Jesus has made one house of God, of angels, and of humanity, the church father Bede said. The church is a spiritual home, lovingly made by God for the sake of Christ's mission, to share God's love and to serve the people that God created in his image. Ephrem the Syrian, another church father who died in 373, said, "You gave us so many gifts on the day of your birth, a treasure chest of spiritual medicines for the sick, spiritual light for the blind, a cup of salvation for the thirsty, the bread of life for the hungry." We who celebrate the incarnation at Christmas must become incarnate ourselves. We must become the body of Christ in the world, so that when people are feeling alone, when they are seeking faith for the first time or to have it renewed, when they're suffering physically or spiritually or emotionally, we can say to them, "Come to Bethlehem and see." Jesus desires to make a home with us, with you and me. He loves us and cares for us and comforts us. And he gives us his holy peace. God meets us in his Son and brings us home. And there is no place like his home. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.